the job definitely evolves, and in small markets, you got to do more than just one thing.
You can't just do one thing. You pretty much have to do everything and anything you possibly can. And, you know, you get involved with the community, like organizing guys' community events and their schedules. And, you know, you get out in the community. You try and connect the players to the fans a little bit more, and you yourself get connected to the fans, and it's something I enjoy growing up in a small town. So been a Moose Jaw for 15 years, and it's a great hockey town, and I think you'll see it tonight when Ryan Smith's banner gets unveiled and the response that he gets, the love affair that in small communities like this that people have with these players, It's truly amazing to see.
I'm assuming his billets still around. Are they coming tonight?
His billets, unfortunately, aren't able to make it tonight. They're actually in Arizona.
Oh, smart. So, retired. Yeah.
enjoying the sunny life. Yeah,
well, that makes perfect sense. Now, the crush can. Now, this is my first time in Mosaic Place. I was in the crush can, and as we sit in the press box, couldn't even see across to the old crush can. How has that been? Because it was such really a historic building. It's not. I drove in, and it's not even there anymore.
You know what? The old joke was is that the Civic Center was a building you could take your wife and your girlfriend to a game, and they never see each other. I called, you know, for 12 years games in the Civic Center, and I've never seen fans above four rows on the other side of the rink. And, you know, it got to the point where, yes, the Civic Center, those old barns have tremendous atmosphere. And talking to visiting players, I remember talking to Carl Alsner back when the Warriors played the Calgary Hitmen in a playoff series. And Carl told me he loved playing the Civic Center, one of his favorite rinks to play in because it had that old school feel, fans behind the glass chirping you all game long. But, you know, when you're having the facilities flood and it's the rain is trickling down through the ceiling, it's time to go. And, you know, the transition's been smooth. And the Warriors board and the staff at the time did a great job moving from downtown or from the top of Main Street to downtown. It went very smooth. The organization has thrived. I mean, a new building like this, there's open opportunities for more revenue, which is probably the big thing. More seats and more luxury suites, you know, more club boxes, more opportunity to sell, you know, around the bowl. So overall, it's gone really well, and the community's backed it. I mean, there's maybe some people that were against the project to start, but when they start going to whether it be hockey games or concerts or conventions that were held here in the facility, you know, they just fall in love.
Well, I've noticed you guys get some big-name concerts in here now.
It's been great. I mean, you know, we were in love when Motley Crue was here. We just loved it, thought it was great. You know, who's coming? Toby Keith is coming right away. I mean, Brad Paisley was here in the fall. Alan Jackson was here in the fall. And they're sold-out crowds. Carrie Underwood, I think, took maybe 5 minutes to sell.
So,
you know, and again, you know, the Scotties Tournament of Hearts will be here, you know, starting in a week and a half. And I think that's, again, where you'll see just more people fall in love with this facility because it'll be great for watching curling for a week.
Now, Moose Jaw itself, kind of, I guess, in the terms of the WHL, a small market. I think Edmonton listeners can relate to that because that's what the orders were for a long time pre-lockout until the salary cap and, you know, Darryl Cates comes in. And they haven't had any success not being a small market team. But so money definitely can't buy a success. Is the separation of the WHL from the big to the small, is that a concern?
You know what? I don't think so. I think, in terms of the community, yes, you could say probably small market. What Mosaic Place has done is made Moose Jaw a medium market franchise. In the league, a couple of years ago, they were actually, their status was changed from small market to medium market, which helps when you talk about things of trying to lure, say, for example, like a CHL Top Prospects game, trying to get more of the Subway Super Series. You know, your bid looks a little bit better if you want to go in for the Memorial Cup. This is a great facility. There's been guys that have talked a lot about that opportunity. So, you know, in that terms, you know, and again, you know, sometimes you get to the big facilities. I love going to Rexall Place because there's such great history there when you see the banners and everything. But sometimes when you call the game, you feel so disconnected from the action.
You're way far.
You're so high up here in Moose Jaw. You know, you get an opportunity to be a part of the game. You know, you can hear the players chirping at one another. You can hear the fans yelling at, you know, the players and themselves for that matter. You get a better feel here. And I think sometimes, you know, it's nice to go to the big buildings, but you know, places like Moose Jaw, like Prince Albert, like Swift Current, they get treated like grassroots places. And that's why I think oppositions love to come and players love to come and play in these places where, you know, a guy you just talked to, Braden Point, this young man's a rock star in Moose Jaw. And I would be fair to say that he probably hasn't paid for a meal in 3 years because he could walk down Main Street, and especially what he did as a 15-year-old, people would line up to give him, you know, here's a lunch on your pointer. People fall in love with you in this community. You get such connections. It's fantastic.
James Gallo, play-by-play voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors, joins us. You've seen all the teams. Who's the best team in the WHL right now?
Have not seen Kelowna yet.
Oh, you haven't seen
Haven't seen Kelowna yet. The Warriors make their road trip starting next week. We'll see the Rockets on Valentine's Day, February 14th. So interested to that. You know what? I think on the Eastern Conference, it's tough to argue against Brandon, Medicine Hat. They're deep in all areas of the game. Both have their strengths. Both obviously have weaknesses that they would like to smooth out as they get towards the playoffs. In terms of the Eastern Conference and as well, don't rule out the Calgary Hitmen. This is a franchise that has always done pretty well in the postseason. They've got some key guys like Jake Virtanen and Chase Lang. You know, so interested to see Kelowna. I could probably give you a better answer then, but when the Warriors saw Portland, they were 1-7 at the time, so a tough assessment on that. And here in the Eastern Conference, probably Edmonton, Medicine Hat, and Calgary Brandon, Medicine Hat, and Calgary would be the top three.
Speaking of Edmonton, with Tristan Jarry, still has to make them dangerous, a goalie like that come playoff time.
You know, he's an amazing player to watch, and he's worth the price, in my opinion. He's stolen games for the Edmonton Oil Kings, and he's the type of guy that could get them or should get them into the postseason. And he's the type of guy that, don't rule out a guy like Tristan Jarry stealing a round. He's that good. I don't care what anybody else says. He's, in my opinion, Tristan Jarry is that good. And he could take the Edmonton Oil Kings for sure into the second round.
Now, I had Tim Hunter on earlier, and he feels he's got two of the best young goalies in the league. I didn't know about the second one. They just called him up from Okanagan.
Yeah.
You've seen the goaltending here all season long, and some nights they likely have to face maybe more shots than other goaltenders. And are they facing more quality shots because of a young team in front of them?
That's a very good statement to say. I mean, forced to see quality shots will make you better. There was a stretch earlier in the season where Zach Sochenko had about 240 shutout minutes. Really took control. Brody Wilms in the game against the Edmonton Oil Kings about a month ago here in Moose Jaw was absolutely fantastic. And, that's a team that, the guy like Brett Pollock, he comes right at you, and he's got a great shot in my opinion. So, and development too with goaltenders, this franchise hasn't been successful in the past. It's really started probably in the last 5 years with guys like Justin Pollock, Daniel Waple now leading to Zach Sochenko and Brody Wilms. And with goaltenders, they're guys that you need to see improvement year after year. You've seen that with Zach going from last year's 16-year-old rookie to a 17-year-old starter this year. And you're seeing that with Brody Wilms game in and game out. Off seasons are so important for every player, but for goaltenders, they need to hit the ground running coming next fall because there's a guy in the back that could take your job in a matter of a second.
A unique situation. Quinton Howden, of course, was a first-round pick of the Florida Panthers. And now you see his younger brother, 16-year-old Brett Howden, has got 14 goals, 31 points in 48 games as a 16-year-old. Yeah. Compare those two brothers. How are their games similar?
In terms of points right now, Quinton had in 62 games his rookie season, he had 30 points, nine of those being goals. Brett has already surpassed Quinton's rookie season total. So they play different games. Quinton was a guy that used his speed down the wall. Brett is the type of guy that's going to develop to go down the middle towards the net. Yeah, he's got a big frame. He plays that way as well. He'll grow more into his body. But, Quinton's game more built out of speed. I think Brett's game is probably more built out of going through guys as opposed to going around guys.
Yeah, a lot of people projecting maybe a first-round pick for Brett Howden in 2016.
Fair to say, as long as players develop again, next year will be a big year for Brett going into his draft-eligible season. So, again, and I think where Brett's at an advantage is that he gets to train with professional players. He trains with his brother Quinton in the offseason. He trains with Dylan McElrath, who's in the New York Rangers system. So I think in that case, Brett's has got a very good advantage going through. And he can learn from, maybe what his brother didn't do. Brett can learn from those mistakes.
Quickly, what should they expect from Spokane?
Don Knockbauer's a hard work team. It's going to be a battle on the ice. Work for your ice here tonight. When you look at the numbers, Spokane maybe doesn't score a lot, but they do not give up a lot. So the Warriors are a team built through speed, built through the transition. If they can establish that game early on, should find success. But again, Don Knockbauer is one of the best in junior hockey on the bench, and obviously he'll have his guys ready to go. Hard work is probably the big thing. Compete. And you talked to Tim Hunter about that earlier. Compete is a big thing for the Warriors and for the Chiefs tonight.
James, I really appreciate you letting me borrow your booth to do the broadcast today. And enjoy the call tonight and enjoy a very special ceremony for Ryan Smith.
It's the friendly city, so no doubts. You're more than welcome.
I know. I saw the sign coming in. Moose Jaw, the friendly city. Nice. I like it.
Enjoy the night, too.
You betcha. James Gallo, voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors.